Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Well, it is time for us to open our Bibles this morning. And what a privilege that is. Glory to God. I'm so thankful that we have this book. Some people are not so blessed. You know, some people, they would love to have this book in their possession. And we are so blessed to be able to go and buy as many copies as we want. And, of course, we can read it online if we need to. Really, the American people have no excuse for not reading the Word of God because it is accessible. Every American alive today has access to the Bible. This wonderful King James Bible. Praise the Lord. Well, we're putting a title on this message today. I'm calling this message, "The Lord Shall Endure Forever."
Hallelujah.
The Lord shall endure forever. And you know, we live in a world right now where it seems as though everything has changed. And people are longing for the good old days. You know, 2019. It is truly amazing how much the world has changed just within this last year, just really over the last 6 months. It's a different world, and it has changed, and I don't think we're ever going to go back to the way it was before. You know, I'm 36 years old, and I've lived through 9/11, the Great Recession, and now the coronavirus pandemic, and all of these tragedies come along, and they change the world. 9/11 changed the world forever. It especially changed this country forever. You know, before 9/11, there was no Patriot Act. There wasn't even a TSA at the airport. How quickly we forget how fast things can change. And of course, we know the Great Recession changed, really, it changed an entire generation. It changed their mindset. It changed how people think about their finances. It changed, really, a whole generation's outlook on life. And now, with this coronavirus pandemic and all of these mandates that have come forth, I believe that's going to change the world forever, too. I don't think we're going to go back to the way it was before, but people are clamoring. They're longing for normalcy. They want to go back. You know, things change in this world. That's one thing you can be certain of. Things change in this world. But another thing that you can be certain of is that the Lord does not change. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And we know that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, he said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." So even as we go through these hard trials in this day and age, we can rest in the fact that our Lord does not change. He was God back when His book was written. He was God when the Roman Empire was in power. He was God during the 19th century, the 20th century, the 21st century. And as long as we're here on earth, He will always be God. His power is not diminished even slightly.
Amen.
We are going to be opening our Bibles to Psalm 77 to begin with this morning. And before I read even one verse, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this day, thanking Thee for this precious book that Thou hast set before us. We thank Thee for this privilege and this honor of reading Thy Word. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would fill our hearts with a longing and a desire to know Thee better. Help us to reach out to Thee in faith. Help us to draw near to Thee, O God, and let our focus be firmly on Thee. Let our attention be on Thee and on Thee only and on Thy precious Word. We pray, Lord, that there would be no distractions here, but we ask, Lord, that Thou would have the preeminence here today. We bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that Thou art sovereign, O God, and there is no name greater than the almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that Thou would give us the spirit of discernment and understanding, help us to comprehend Thy Scriptures, and inspire us here this day to be obedient to Thy will. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Yes, we live in a world that is always changing. Of course, the world has been dangerous for a long time. Jesus talked about that extensively with the wars and rumors of wars and the earthquakes and the famines and the pestilences. Of course, we're seeing all of that today. And a lot of those things have been around for a long time, but it's definitely intensifying in this time period that we live in. And things are such a mess out there right now. A lot of people are really very fearful. And if you didn't know the Lord, I'm sure you would be too. Because when you see what has befallen this world and what has befallen this country, it would terrify any normal person, any person who does not know the Lord. Oh, yes, we desperately need Him to carry us through. And if you look at a map of the United States right now and see all those wildfires happening, it is astonishing. All throughout the western United States, especially on the West Coast, but also in other states as well out west, there's just one fire after another, fire after another, fire. And they say the other day that in San Francisco, during the middle of the day, it was as dark as night because of all of the smoke clouds from the wildfires. And in other cases, the sky was blood red, pulsing with the flames from all these wildfires. And now, it's not just California, but it's Oregon, and it is Washington State and other western states. And just the other day, there were 200 of these wildfires. Now that is something that should be very concerning to every person. But that's not all that this country has to worry about. You know, it's been a very, very active tropical storm season. In fact, the other day, they said on the news that there were currently 6 tropical storm systems in the Atlantic. 6! You know, if this keeps up, they're going to run out of names for those storms. You know, when those storms get a little more powerful, they become hurricanes. And sometimes they make landfall in the United States, and we know how deadly that can be. But it has been an astonishing season for these hurricanes. And that's just on top of everything else that is happening. We live in a very troubled period of time. But I tell you what, the United States of America is ripe for judgment. I know that people talk about how much they love this country, but this country has done a lot of shameful things. And one of the most shameful things of all right now is that new movie that they put out on Netflix. It's called Cuties. And in this film, they're promoting what amounts basically to child pornography. It's about this troupe of young 11-year-old girl dancers who learn these terribly, terribly suggestive dances. They call it twerking, you know, something that no child should ever do. But I was reading a description of this film, and it's even worse than I thought. You know, there are actually scenes in this movie where they show child nudity. Now, this should not even be legal. Netflix, I have no use for Netflix, and I urge every Christian out there to immediately cancel your Netflix subscriptions, because what they put out is absolutely abominable. And I also urge President Donald Trump to ban Netflix until this film is removed. That's what he should do. It really is reprehensible. And I saw somebody took a screenshot of this. They were sending in their request to cancel their Netflix account. And a lot of people are doing that, thank God. But they were canceling their account and going, of course, to the Netflix representative. Oh, was saying, oh, we're very sorry to be losing you. And why are you canceling? And because of this terrible movie you're putting out called Cuties. And I said, we understand. We'll cancel your subscription. And I'm sure they've been getting a lot of that. And then this person asked, do you oppose pedophilia? And they said, well, we can't answer specifically to that. But we support all cultures and religions, you know. I mean, that's a yes or no question, and the answer should always be no. So I don't know why they couldn't answer that question, but Netflix is terrible. And, you know, it's been bad for a long time. They put out filthy programming. They put out that show called Lucifer, which was originally on Fox, but then they canceled it, and Netflix brought it back. And they have that show about Sabrina the Witch, and they say, well, it's a reboot of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but it's creepier, you know. And actually, that show, they took an image of Baphomet, or Satan, that had been used by that satanic church, and they were sued. So now they actually have to give this satanic church credit, and the credit to this program. And that's on Netflix. I tell you what, Netflix is absolutely filthy. And I mean, if you have an account, I urge you to cancel it, because this is just reprehensible what's happening. But, you know, when you see these things and you hear about these things, it's no wonder that this country just seems so ripe for judgment. And it's not just that, but you got the abortion and all of the other problems, all of the other sins. And, you know, we're in this contentious election season. I tell you what, no matter what happens with this election, it could get very nasty. And, you know, they say the Democrats are worried that if Trump loses, he might refuse to leave the White House and not accept the results of the election. And then the Washington Post put out an article the other day that said if Donald Trump wins, the Democrats might not accept the results of the election. Well, we don't know what's going to happen, but we need to stay prayed up. That's for sure. We live in a very troubled world. And, of course, I talked about how this world has changed. It has changed in such a dramatic fashion. But, thankfully, our God is still on the throne. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 77 right now to start out with. In verse 1, it tells us, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. And that's what you should always do if you are troubled. If you're in a time of trouble, if you're in a day of trouble, if you don't know what to do, if you don't know where to turn, if you don't have the answers, if your back is against the wall, and it seems like there's no way out, here's what you should do. Cry unto God with your voice. Verse 2, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And, you know, this is a relatable psalm, too. I'm sure that we have all been there, where we've been in a position where we just didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to make ourselves feel better. We didn't know how to make ourselves feel comforted. But even in those darkest moments, when you can't comfort yourself, and when other people can't seem to comfort you either, there is one who can, and I am talking about the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit. Sometimes there's nowhere else to turn. Verse 3, I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. And you'll notice something about a lot of these psalms. A lot of these psalms, they start out on very sour notes, where the psalmist is crying out in pain or in misery or in sorrow. But invariably, by the time you get to the end of the psalm, you see the psalmist crying out for deliverance from God, expressing faith in God who is able to save us, and only He can. Let's see what happens as we continue in this psalm. Verse 4, Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Have you ever been so troubled that you couldn't even speak? Well, when you think about the things that are going to befall this world as we get closer and closer and closer to our Savior's return, there may be a lot of people who can't even speak because they are so troubled. In fact, Jesus talked about men's hearts failing them for fear. Verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. And, you know, I talked about that too, how people long for the good old days. Even last year, we didn't know how good we had it last year. And a lot of people complained about how terrible 2019 was. And they said, well, I'm looking forward to 2020. It's going to be such a wonderful year. This is going to be my year. And now you've got people who are saying, oh, I can't wait until this terrible year is over. Surely 2021 will be better. Well, we'll see. We will see. But, you know, I think a lot of people lately have probably been looking back at the past and longing for better times and even better decades. Of course, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and it just seems like the 80s were so much better than this period of time. I must be getting older now because I feel so nostalgic toward the 80s and then even the 90s, you know, it seemed better. And, you know, at the time, it probably seemed like, well, you know, the previous decades were better than these. But that's because, well, the scriptures tell us, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So each decade that follows the previous decade is worse than the last. And that's why we tend to look back and think about how wonderful those previous decades were. Of course, everything is so different now, and there's so much technology. There's really too much. They've got, you know, so many smart devices. They want to put even your things in your home online. They want to put your appliances online. They want to put your light bulbs online. They have smart light bulbs. You can control them with your smartphone. And of course, one of the big dangers of having all these so-called smart devices is that they can be hacked. And, you know, some of these more elaborate vehicles, too, that are online as well, they can be hacked. Hackers have shown that they can stop your vehicle. They can hack into it and stop it. You know, I'd rather drive an old vehicle that doesn't have that smart technology so that, you know, you know it can't be hacked at least. But, yes, everything has changed. And sometimes we look back and remember those old days and think, well, that was so much better. And here we see the psalmist doing that very thing. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? You know, sometimes in these moments of distress, it feels like the Lord is so far away from us. But when you're feeling far away from the Lord, just remember, he's not the one that moved. And you can always get back to him. We can always come to the Lord Jesus. Verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Oh, he never forgets to be gracious. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. You know, when you are feeling low, when you are struggling, and maybe you're struggling with a health issue, maybe you're struggling with finances, maybe there's trouble in your family, maybe there's trouble at work, or maybe you're just troubled by the condition of the world that we live in right now. But I tell you what, when you start thinking about all the wondrous works of God, all of the things he has done in the past, and all of the ways he has helped you before, that will lift your spirit. Oh, yes. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You know, people get so busy in this day and age, it seems like we're always doing something, right? Well, I tell you what, it's a good thing sometimes to just stop doing anything else and study the Word of God and meditate on the works of the Lord, of his wonders of years gone by. And we read these stories about all that he has done. And we think, oh, that is so amazing. Oh, how I'd like to see miracles like that today. Well, just remember something. It's still the same God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Verse 13, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Notice how his countenance is changing as we continue to progress through this psalm. It starts out, everything seems so bleak, but then he starts to remember. He starts to ponder. He starts to meditate on the works of God and remember all that God has done before. And that reminds us of all that he is able to do now in the present. Verse 16, The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were afraid, the depths also were troubled, the clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound, thine arrows also went abroad, the voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. And all of these things are going to happen again. The whole earth is going to shake, and really there are earthquakes every day, but one day there's going to be an earthquake unlike any other earthquake before.
Wow.
You can read all about that in the book of Revelation, in case you're wondering where to go. Verse 19, The way is in the sea, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know, when you're feeling low, when you're feeling discouraged, it is good to remember what God has done. It's what really helped the psalmist, and this was a psalm of Asaph, but he became so encouraged when he started to think about all that the Lord had done, how he had brought his people out of bondage. And we're going to go now to Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to see that something that God did for his people all the way back in 1446 B.C. Of course, we know that the Israelites had been in bondage in the land of Egypt for 400 years. We know that they had hard burdens. We know that Pharaoh was extremely oppressive to these people. And God heard their cries. He sent to them a deliverer, a man named Moses, a man that he miraculously raised up, a man whom Pharaoh had sought to destroy when he was just a newborn boy. But God preserved his life, and God raised him up, and God put him in a position of power and authority so that he could grow and thrive. And the time came when he called him out of that Egypt. He called him out of Egypt, and he gave him a job to do, to lead the people of Israel out of bondage. And of course, they had to go through a lot. And God sent 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. And finally, Pharaoh agreed to let the people of Israel go. But this man, this Pharaoh, had so many devils in him that he could not think clearly. Even when he finally made the proper decision, we're going to see that he changed his mind and it chased after the Israelites. Of course, God was going to use this too to demonstrate his power, not only to the Israelite people, but also to Egypt and the rest of the world. Exodus chapter 14, let's begin with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon before it, shall ye encamp by the sea. Now God specifically told them to go this way. And they might have wondered, God, what are you doing? Why did you tell us to go this way? Here we are backed up against the Red Sea. We've got the Egyptians barreling down behind us. And to them, maybe it seemed like a mistake, but this was all part of God's will. It was all part of His plan, all part of His purpose. And sometimes you might be going through things in your life. You might be backed up against the wall. You might wonder, what is God doing? But you need to trust that He knows what He's doing, and He will bring you out of whatever trouble you are in. Verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. You see, that was the reason God told them to go that way. This was going to demonstrate His power to the Israelite people, but not to them only, but also to Egypt, and indeed to the rest of the world. This story wasn't just retold by the Egyptians. You can be sure that this story was noised abroad all over the world. They heard about what God had done. Verse 5, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. Now, if you can imagine, and they estimate that there are between 2 million and 3 million Israelites, by the way, who left Egypt. But they have 600 chosen chariots chasing after them. That would be terrifying. Amen. To most people. But you know what? God was with the Israelites. And God alone was able to stop their advances. 600 chariots are no match for the Lord. Even if they have very skilled soldiers driving those chariots, they're no match for the Lord. In fact, we're going to see that God put a barrier between the Egyptians and Israel, and they could not reach the Israelites because God stood in the gap and prevented them from doing so. And you know, sometimes the devil may chase after you, but just call upon the Lord and let God stand in the gap so that the devil cannot reach you, so that the devil cannot afflict you. God can get in his way, and that's exactly what we need. So, 600 chosen chariots. And verse 8 tells us, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. They did go out with a high hand. They came out of Egypt victorious. In fact, the scriptures tell us that they spoiled the Egyptians. Because after those 10 plagues took place, the Egyptians were so terrified that they gave the Israelites whatever they wanted. And God had a purpose in that too. All of those precious metals that they carried out of Egypt, God was going to have them use those things to make the tabernacle. Verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Well, it's good that they cried out unto the Lord, but they still needed to grow in their faith, because they're about to express some terrible doubt, which they shouldn't have had, considering all that God had done for them already. But sometimes when we are distressed and we are troubled, we forget what God has done for us in the past. You know, people look at what's happening in this world right now, and the economy is in shambles. A lot of people are out of work, and they're saying it's going to get worse and worse. And, you know, the national debt is now growing by trillions at a time. People worry about their finances, but just remember how the Lord has helped you before, and He can do it again. And even if they come out with their mark of the beast system and demand you get a chip and say you can't buy or sell otherwise, God can sustain you even through that. In fact, if they try to come out with their chip and you refuse it, I believe God will bless you for not taking it. People might wonder, well, what am I going to do? I can't go to the store and buy food. Well, that's okay. God can rain down bread from heaven. He did it for the Israelites. He gave them manna. And of course, we know that Jesus fed the 5,000. If He can do that, He can feed you. Oh, yes, it's so important to remember what God has done. And, you know, people are especially worried about their finances right now. But I tell you what, I think back of all the times that the Lord has helped this ministry. And, of course, this ministry was built on miracles. It was a miracle that my parents even got the house that they had and that my mother still lives in. That was a miracle from God. You know, they had to do a drawing for it. And during the first drawing, they pulled up my parents' name, and the guy running it said, "Well, we're not going to give it to them because they don't have enough income." So they ran another name, they drew another name, and my parents came up again and they said, "Well, no, we can't give it to them. They don't have enough income." And third time, their name came up again, and the head guy, the supervisor, said, "We're giving them that house." And that's how it all began. In fact, this church was first located in that house. And, you know, we've been here now for a long time. Praise God. And the Lord has been with us every step of the way. It is a church built on miracles. Praise the Lord. So we need to remember, sometimes it looks so terrifying, everything that's happening in the world. And these Israelites were terrified by what they saw. The Egyptians bearing down on them. 600 chosen chariots. How were they going to get out of this mess? Well, let's see what the Lord does. Verse 11 tells us, "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us? To carry us forth out of Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." I tell you what, you're never better off in Egypt. God will bring you out. And you never want to go back. Verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." You know, sometimes when it seems like there's nothing else that you can do, maybe what you really need to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let go and let God have His way.
Oh, yes.
He knows how to fix it.
Yes.
Verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." You know, after you cry out to God, and you stand still and wait for His salvation, there's something you have to do after that, and that is move forward. Never stop moving forward. Follow Jesus. Keep following Jesus. Keep moving forward. Stay on that straight and narrow. He'll show you the way to go. Just keep following Jesus. Verse 16, "But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand." And I just need to turn the page here. Praise God. "Stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Of course, we know that the Egyptians had this whole pantheon of so-called gods and goddesses. But God was going to demonstrate His power to them, to show them, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that He is greater than every single one of those wicked, idolatrous deities that they worshipped in Egypt. Remember something, there's only one true God, and all those other so-called gods are really just devils in disguise. So make sure you worship the one true God. Praise God. We only need one. We don't need a bunch of gods. One will suffice. And furthermore, we don't need to pray to angels. Nor do we need to ask Mary to intercede on our behalf. We can go straight to the throne of God right now.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Verse 19, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Oh, the devil might attack you. The devil chases after us sometimes, but let God get in his way. Let God get in his way. The Lord knows how to protect you and to sustain you. So here we see, and this is so beautiful, you have the Egyptians, their 600 chariots, chasing after the Israelites. But God moved to the rear of the people. And he said, he was basically telling the Egyptians, you will not touch my people. And they couldn't do it. And what's really truly amazing about this, God, His presence there was a light to the Israelites, but to the Egyptians, it was darkness.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise Jesus.
Verse 19, and the angel of God which went before the camps of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And this presence of God was enough to prevent the Egyptians from attacking those 2 to 3 million people. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them, to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians, to the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. You know, I'm looking forward to the day when we can stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and behold His beautiful face. But I tell you what, to those who know not the Lord, the face of God is a terrifying thing. People will want to flee from the presence of the Lord when He is pouring out judgment. And thankfully, we are now still able to escape that judgment. We can all still come to the Lord. The door is still open. We can still repent. But that door is going to shut one of these days. Verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. You see, this is what God is able to do. And the God who did this all the way back here in 1446 B.C. is still the same God today.
Praise
God. Verse 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. And by the way, when they crossed this Red Sea, that was a type of baptism. And their problems, I guess you could say, you could really, to bring this into modern times, this water drowned those Egyptians that were troubling the Israelites. And when we go down that water in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, that water, and particularly the name of Jesus, because the power is in the name, but that drowns our sins and washes them away.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
Thank the Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
You
know, you can think about all the things that God did over the years, and we could read about many of them in the scriptures. Of course, this was an amazing miracle, the way He rolled back the waters of the Red Sea so that these millions of people could cross over onto dry land. And He did so many other things to help His people. He brought them through that wilderness. He sustained them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. He rained down bread from heaven. He gave them water to drink. In some cases, there was no water around, but water came pouring out of a rock.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that's what God can do for His people. And you can think of all the ways that He helped King David. You can think of the ways that He helped Elijah and the prophets and Daniel, whom He saved from a lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who He saved from a fiery furnace. And the Son of God was there with them in that furnace so that they would not be burned by these flames. That fire was so hot that it actually killed the Babylonian men who threw those three men into the fire. But those three men of God were not harmed by it. Why? Because Jesus Christ was right there with them in the flames. And He's right there with you right now.
Yeah.
Even as we go through everything that's happening in this world right now, He's right there with you right now.
Oh,
you know, we started this message with a psalm, and I want to go to another one. Psalm 102. Actually, let's go to Psalm 118 first. Psalm 118, we'll be going to 102 after that. Psalm 118. Praise the Lord. You can really draw so much encouragement from these psalms. And that's why I love going to psalms so often. And they're so appropriate for the time we're living in right now. I tell you what, if you're ever feeling bad, if you're ever feeling miserable about the way the world is right now, start reading the psalms.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Praise
Jesus. Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. That's good news, isn't it? His mercy endures forever. Like I said all along today, He's still the same God. He always will be God, even when this world is no more. And we are with Him in heaven. He will still be God. Verse 2, let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. Praise God. Do you fear the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Do you respect the Lord? Well, then we need to say that His mercy endureth forever. Verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? You know, the worst thing they could possibly do to you is kill you. But even if they do that, you get to go be with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Oh, you know, people in this country right now, they're so terrified about what's going to happen with this election. And depending on who you talk to, some people say, well, you know, if Trump doesn't win, this country's done for. Or others say, well, if Trump doesn't lose and Biden doesn't get an end, this country's done for. But you know what? My trust is not in man. My trust is not in princes. My trust is not in presidents. It's not in heads of state. It's not in prime ministers. It's not in kings. It's not in any dignitaries on this planet. My trust is in the Lord. Yeah. And no matter who is president, He is still on the throne. Yeah. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And no matter who is president, Jesus Christ is still King. He still reigns. He always will. There's no end to His kingdom. And these men might think they're so powerful, but they can only do what God allows them to do. Amen. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. And you can apply these verses to evil spirits and devils in this day and age. They may try to torment you, but you will be victorious. In the name of the Lord.
Amen. Yes, in the name of
the Lord. They compassed me about like bees, it tells in verse 12. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. There might be people out there who want to destroy you, but the Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. Keep seeking the Lord. He can give you a way out, even when it seems like there is no way out. Just remember what He did for the Israelites on how they crossed that Red Sea. Oh, yes, He can bring you over any Red Sea that you may be facing in your life. It can bring you through any obstacles that you may be facing in your life.
Oh, yes, God.
Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And that verse holds true even if they do kill your body, because that's not death. That's not the end for the Christian people. Verse 18, the Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. Praise the Lord. And of course, we know that our salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the name Jesus means salvation. Verse 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And that's a prophetic verse talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our firm foundation, the rock of our salvation. And He is the head of our church. We build our lives on Him. Praise God. Verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. People can look around and everything that's happening. Oh, there's coronavirus. Oh, there's wildfires. Oh, there's hurricanes. Oh, the economy is terrible. We could be heading for a Great Depression. And the national debt keeps rising by trillions. But you know what? This is still the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it, because I know the Lord and you know the Lord. And that's always a reason to rejoice. Verse 25, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifices with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. Of course, we still offer sacrifices to God, but not animal sacrifices. That would be foolishness, because Jesus went to that cross for us, and we don't have to offer animal sacrifices anymore. And to do so would be an abomination, but we offer sacrifices of praise and worship from our lips. Praise God. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. God does not change. I don't know how much time this world has left, but however much it is, if we're still here for another 100 years, and who knows, but throughout all those years, God will still be God. Let's look at Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Psalm 102. And we're going to start with verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. Of course, we live in a world right now where a lot of people are in trouble, which makes this psalm very appropriate for right now. Verse 3, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burdened as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. And that can happen to people. Sometimes people get so troubled that they forget to even eat. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. You know, I read that verse earlier this morning, and I got thinking about it. And, you know, out at our place, we see a lot of sparrows. But one thing you hardly ever see is just one. The sparrow usually has friends. And when there is just one, it's always kind of sad. You feel like that little bird is looking around for his buddies. So it's kind of a sad thing to see just one little sparrow, but that doesn't happen very often. Usually there's a big flock of them eating a bird seed in the front yard. And of course, we love to watch those birds. The cats also like to watch the birds, although for different reasons. But it's a, you know, God loves those little birds. He loves every little sparrow. But it's just quite a thought. And it really paints a picture here of the sadness of it all, the pelican of the wilderness. And actually, you know, it's kind of amazing, because over on the Beaver Dam Lake here, we've been getting pelicans now. And that's a relatively recent thing. I first noticed them a few years ago, but you wouldn't usually see them in the wilderness or an owl in the desert or just a lonely little sparrow. But this is how the psalmist felt when he was writing this psalm. Verse 8, "Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they are mad against me, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I've eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping." If you can imagine, when you try to eat, you're so sorrowful that your tears just flow down into your drink. He's painting quite a picture here, isn't he? Verse 10, "Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations." Everything in this world changes, but through all those changes, through everything that happens, God is still the same, yesterday, today, forever. He doesn't change. He shalt endure forever. Verse 13, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory." You know, everyone is going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the kings and the princes and the dignitaries, the prime ministers, the presidents. All of them are going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and profess that He is Lord. Praise God. Verse 16, "When the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord." Verse 18 says that this psalm was being written for the generation to come. That's us. That's us. And this psalm is prophesying of the Lord Jesus, who came to save us, who came to save His people from their sins. Verse 19, "For He hath looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem." And you know who came to earth to do those very things? The Lord Jesus. "When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord." And you know who gathered His people together? The Lord Jesus. In fact, He's still gathering His people together. Yes. "He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." Even when this world is done, even when it is waxed old like a garment and is no more, the Lord God is still on the throne.
Hallelujah.
And we will have the privilege of being in His presence. Oh, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His years shall have no end. Verse 28, "The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." Yes, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to establish His seed, and He reigns. He reigns forever. Praise God. You know, we do live in troubling times, and there are a lot of concerning things happening in this world. But let God's Spirit fill you. And just remember all that He has done before. really ponder what God has done even in your own life. And remember that He's still the same God. He doesn't change. He's not weakened. He can't catch coronavirus. God will always be there. He will always be the same. This earth will wax old like a garment. This earth will be destroyed, but His throne is eternal. His home will always remain. And you are invited to join Him there. But until that day comes, just remember all that God has done. And remember something very important. The Lord shall endure forever. And He will be with you each and every step of the way. We're going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this day, thanking Thee for Thy goodness. We thank Thee for Thy promises. We thank Thee for Thy tender mercies. And we thank Thee for Thy salvation. We ask, Lord, that Thou would help us all to be mindful of Thee each and every day. Give us great faith in Thee. Let our confidence be in Thee, O God. Let our trust be in Thee. For it is better to trust Thee than to trust princes. It is better to trust Thee than to trust men. We ask, Lord, that Thou would deliver all Thy people. We pray, Lord, for all of Thy people in danger today from these wildfires and storms that would be fall this earth and all of the virus situation, Lord. We pray, O God, that Thou would watch over every child of Thine, Lord, and protect Thy people. We pray, O God, that Thou would preserve Thy people and watch over each and every one of us, O God. Let Thy blessings be upon Thy people. Sustain us even in times of trouble, Lord, for we know that Thou art able to do it. And we ask, Lord, that Thou would help us to walk with Thee for the entirety of our lives and to do always Thy will. Be with Thy people, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We are going to sing a song in closing. We will be opening our melodies of praise hymnals. We're going to turn to number 290. Yesterday, today, forever. Number 290. How sweet the glorious message simple faith may be. Today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still He loves to save the sinful, the sick and lame. Still the tempest, glory to His name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. He who was the friend of sinners seeks the lost world. Sinner at His foot still penitently bow. Yea, He said, I'll not condemn thee, go to sin no more. Speaks to thee the word of pardon, heaven days of yore. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Oft on earth He healed the sufferer by His mighty hand. Sin and sorrows go against the land. He who gave His healing virtue to a woman's heart.
praise is fullest still and as much. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never redeemed his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. We may his wisdom to abide. So to all those waiting on him ever near our side, soon again we shall behold his face and glory. But we'll still be this same Jesus as he went away. Yesterday, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never will renew his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never glory to his name. Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you are dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.